this afternoon happened to be by the mercy of God. I want to teach us something today on what I titled Unwavering Faith. Unwavering Faith. Hallelujah. Hold hands to someone and say this word. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word. Our eyes behold from the written word Jesus and himself glorified. In this meeting, we receive as we ought to receive. There's no error in this atmosphere or in our mind. As the word is taught us, with meekness and with gladness, we receive your word. We walk in the light of it all the days of our life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, I said we are discussing on a topic that I titled Unwavering Faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Unwavering Faith. And it's more centered on our believer's faith. Amen. Unwavering Faith. Glory to God. So let's start as we ought to start. Matthew 1:1. As we ought to start. Matthew 1:1. So we said the apostles or the writers of the synopsis, they were not writing mere stories. Right? They were not writing mere stories. They were writing the stories of Jesus from the scripture. Hallelujah. And that's how you must see it. We're not just writing any story. We're not writing what today we call tales by moonlight. Hallelujah. Story of Jesus. That's what some people have turned Matthew, Matthew, John to. Your story of Jesus. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For rather, they were writing it as scripture fulfilled, as we'll see shortly. They were writing their account as scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they were writing from the scriptures. You read Matthew 1:1, and they write in such a way that you don't miss out where they were reading from. Because they had the scriptures with them. So they are showing people that, oh, Jesus is scripture fulfilled. So they write about the event of his birth, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, his birth, his death, and his resurrection. And they say, it's scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see something before we get to Matthew 1:1. Let's see something in 1 Corinthians. Quickly rush to 1 Corinthians. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3. It says, for I deliver first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Isn't that? Hallelujah. He says, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Watch that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now he used that word katatas krapha, meaning it's scriptures fulfilled. Hallelujah. Scripture fulfilled. So that means, when you read scriptures together, you will see that it points to the man Jesus. Hallelujah. Hope you're following. So you don't detach yourself from the synopsis when you read. And they open up their accounts in that way. If we get to Matthew 1:1, well, I asked us to go to earlier. Matthew 1:1, it said the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, what was that? He said the book of the generations. Now, when you use that word book of generations, your mind goes to Genesis chapter 5. Now he used the word generations there. That is the Greek word genesis. Where you have the word genesis. That's the same word for genesis. So he said the genesis is the genesis of Jesus Christ. And the theme for the genesis will be the theme of sonship. Hallelujah. Just a theme around it. Hallelujah. He said the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he's writing about the story of Jesus and he's taking them through the genesis. Hallelujah. Telling you, hey, as you read what I'm about to write to you, don't be detached. Hallelujah. You shouldn't be detached from the scriptures. Genesis down to Malachi. I told us, I don't think, like I said yesterday during healing school, I said, if you still believe as a believer, and I've been teaching you all these years, and you still believe that, God put sickness on people, don't continue believing. Let's not even drag it. Because after Revelation of God series 1, series 2, no. Revelation of God introduction series 1, series 2. You still believe God put sickness on people. Just believe it.
Okay, I'm gonna just don't worry, just believe. Amen. So the same way here. If at this point you've been in church and you don't know that and you are still saying the Old Testament is gone.
Because it's not gone. Hallelujah. It is going to anywhere. Hallelujah. There's nothing called Old Testament scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What that is actually scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, says, from a child, you know the holy scriptures. Not referring to Matthew chapter. He's referring to what Genesis and so on like that. He calls it holy scriptures. Okay, follow me. He calls Genesis down to Malachi holy scriptures. He says all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is what Phidia and Diakosune, where you have spiritual growth. So spiritual growth actually is in Genesis, that's about that. So it becomes very funny when you hear people say, Genesis to Malachi is gone, it's Old Testament. No. And I said, we're walking in that manner. And I believe and I trust God that in this church, we'll get to the point where when you say scripture, you read everything together. Hallelujah. Holy God won't be saying scripture, Old Testament. You won't even be calling it Old Testament scriptures in terms of reference. You call it scripture. Amen. God, there's nothing Old Testament in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Those are scriptures. Hallelujah. So you don't get it out. So what Matthew had as Bible is Genesis, that's Malachi. What Jesus had, where Jesus preached from was not Genesis, was not Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Jesus preached from Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. So, very vital. So they were not just writing next to me, they were writing it from scriptures. Hallelujah. So, Matthew writes that for you to see, the incarnation from the scriptures. Now in Matthew 28, quickly, from verses 20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Now you use that word, I am, ego eman in the Greek. I am with you always. Now when you hear that word, I am there, your mind goes to the Exodus. Hallelujah. Where you find out that the I am is Yahweh. So Matthew also picked that out from Jesus' word to make you see that he is the I am. Hallelujah. That Jesus is the I am of scriptures. Hallelujah. Making you see his deity. See him as deity. Hallelujah. From the scriptures. So Jesus is both God. And all put it. So Jesus is God in human flesh. Hallelujah. His deity. I am with you always.
Mark 1:1. Mark 1 verse 1, it says, now Mark used another word, Archaeomai there. He said, in the beginning, he said, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He used that word, beginning, Archaeomai.
When we use that word, Archaeomai, is a shade of word for Genesis.
Hallelujah. For Genesis, so he says, in the beginning. Where is the beginning in scripture? Genesis. So he says, in the beginning,
right? In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he calls the Genesis the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the beginning of the gospel, he says, now, look at what he now does.
In verse 2, he now says, as it is written. Where is it written?
Above your textbook or scriptures. Thank you. As it's written in the prophet. Now I told you,
one way scriptures is called in their world is called prophets. Right?
That's written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Hallelujah. I send my messenger before thy face.
And that is Malachi. Okay, follow me. Malachi 3. So he says, I don't know what that means. So he goes from the beginning, and then he goes to Malachi. He now goes to verse 3 to Isaiah. It says, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make it fast straight. Hallelujah.
So what he has done is reading backwards. So he's telling you, as you read my synoptic, you are going to read it backwards where? Into the scriptures. Hope you're following me. You must learn to read backwards. So I say this. The synoptic, when you read the synoptic, it should take you to Genesis down to Malachi, and Genesis down to Malachi will bring you back into it.
Hallelujah.
Okay, follow me. So when you listen, when you read scriptures,
and you get to where you call the New Testament section of your Bible. It's actually the New Testament section. Amen? When you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians and the like. When you read them, it should always take you back. And when you read Genesis down to Malachi, it should take you forward. Hallelujah. That's why you have to read everything together. Don't segment your Bible. I told also a revelation of that day. Go to your Bible where you see New Testament section. Tear it away. When you wrote New Testament, say no. But you must just read the Bible together. Hallelujah. Because Latin, New Testament and Old Testament is actually interpretation. Hallelujah. I want to share on that time during GPLR, but
something happened before GPLR, then I have to take it out of my notes. Amen. But you just have to take it out. Hallelujah. And concentrate. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I was doing a review. Of what I thought to do on Revelation. I learned this year. And I discovered that. I did actually get to the finish line for that. I did that review and I saw it this morning. I completed the review this morning. I went back to my focus, my outline. And before that, we didn't cover 100%. Hallelujah. I'm not saying I'm going to do a mission of God, but I'm going to take it from where we stop and then we're going to speak with our teaching process. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I discovered that, so. But we covered a lot of feet though. I'm not saying we didn't cover enough. But that, where we didn't cover might take us another 3-4 hours. So, I tried. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you must have to read backwards. But for that right up, Mark 16, verses 20. Mark 16, 20.
He says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. He said, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word the signs following. So when he says the Lord walking with them there, the Lord walking with them there is a fact of the essence. Hallelujah. So what is Jesus saying, or what is Mark saying, or where no one Jesus saying, is the fact that, oh, say Jesus now, what is Mark saying? What Mark is saying is the fact that Jesus is God in the Exodus. Because when the Lord walking with them, you will find that Exodus path. God was with them in the wilderness. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Because the devil in the wilderness, he led them in the wilderness. So, we say the Lord walking with them is an excellent act. Showing you Jesus is both David. Hallelujah. Luke 1:1.
Luke 1. Okay, follow you. Don't miss it. Because there are some people that are scared of reading the Old Testament books. And our goal is to help you as a church, help everyone here read their Bible together. Hallelujah.
So that when you get to Ezra, we are not saying Ezra, Ezra, don't understand what you understand. That was definitely some people keep numbing in their Bible. Now the pages of now is still gone. They've never opened it. This now, sir, I don't understand.
No, you have to read it. Hallelujah. They are all together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, Luke 1, for verse 1. For as much as men have set in, have taken in hand, let's be fast now, to set forth in order a declaration of those to which are surely believed amongst us, these are the delivered unto us, which are the arguments and ministers of the world. Now, one thing you must see is the fact that how the synoptics were written, that it was written by two of Jesus' disciples, and two of Jesus' disciples who were not direct disciples of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. They are disciples of the disciples. Mark and Luke. Okay, follow me. They will have Matthew and John, part of Jesus' disciples. Now, that makes it balanced. How? Because in their world, how you can solidify a matter, it must come from witness. Right? So it's a balanced witness coming from both those who are with him, who were with him live on the earth, and those who were not directly with him, but they heard from others. Hallelujah. So it's balanced. So now Luke said it clearly that he wasn't there. That's what he said.
He wasn't there. But he said, even as they delivered them unto us, verse 2. Now he makes that disclaimer. He said, unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word. So he said, those whom he got it from are ministers, eyewitness, right? And are ministers of the word from the beginning. Hallelujah.
Go to God. So now rendering there, if I was to render this, amen, is I will put it, even as they deliver them unto us, who are eyewitness and ministers of the word from the beginning. Genesis. So the beginning there takes you again down to Genesis.
So making you see that these guys, where they heard it from, are ministers from the Genesis. So they are ministers of the word from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So your eyes is not detached from Genesis. That's the matter. Okay, following you.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So verses 3, he told us who his audience is, a Gentile guy, Theophilus, yet he will still present the same Jewish scriptures to him. Luke 24. Verse 46. He said, and thought it was, and thought it be also Christ to suffer the rise on the day of the third day. And I repent of the remission of sins, the preaching his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And here witness of this is that, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Amen. Upon you. For 30 years in the city of Jerusalem, so you be endured power from my eyes.
So where yet, promise of my Father upon you. Your mind goes again to number 5. Hallelujah. Goes again to number 5. So who goes into numbers fact, and then when he says promise of the Father upon, he shows you he will respond to thee. Hallelujah. Not just words, the play of words there by Luke was very vital that you see.
Then John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he goes again and he says, the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God,
and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Now, here's what it says. It says the word. Now,
okay.
It's a temple in the beginning with God. Now, be careful now. Be careful to say some words there so you get to understand God. Amen. So, it's a temple in the beginning with God.
Now, watch this. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. It's not the word was a God. Amen. Watch that. That's what Jehovah Witness, we say. The God and the Word was a God. No.
That is from the word was not a god. Amen. Amen. That is blasphemy. That's heresy. Whether the word was a god, blasphemy, heresy. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. In fact, the way the Greek puts it is, in the beginning was the word was with God, and God is the word. So, when they begin there, archaeomai, the mind goes again to Genesis. What's the word? So where do you find the word in Genesis? Genesis chapter number 3. And then it said the word of the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Hallelujah. The word. Hallelujah. That word is God. You see that? That word is God. The same word in the beginning with God. He said all things were created by Him. Genesis 1:1 down to there. He said, and without Him was anything made that is made. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men. And light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Said the same was sent. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So it was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light. The light of that man comes to the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and whom he received him. But as they had received him, and then he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Even to them that believe on his name. In your testament roots. Hallelujah.
Now, what is he writing here? He's writing Genesis down to Malachi. Verse 13, said, which were born out of blood, not the will of the flesh, but the will of man, but of God. Then the word became flesh, and the man dwelt amongst us. You see that? He's telling you Jesus. Now, just keep all the information about how he was born and tells you straight that that word, that is God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and will be held with you. Hallelujah. The only, and said the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory to God. So, John went straight and makes you see that Jesus is God. He's not a look-alike God. Jesus is God.
Hallelujah. You don't try to negotiate. That's the basis of our faith. Jesus is God. Jesus is 100% God. Hallelujah. In the incarnation and 100% man. In the incarnation. Glory to God.
Let's get into a few details of what I'm teaching you today on wavering faith. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. From verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power. That word there is the word exousia. All authority. Power. Has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make and teach all nations. Or go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now I told you that name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost wasn't actually the meaning, right? Or you could call it, he doesn't have any further collaboration in Scripture. Right? This verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So, I told you that this will be Jesus' closing remark, right? And also will be God's instruction in all the earth. Because we said they were writing from the scriptures, right? Genesis down to Malachi. It therefore implies that if Jesus is reading from the scriptures here, right? It therefore means this instruction he's giving are instructions of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verse 44. It says that the word that is also in the book of Isaiah, which is in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalm constantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, God starts in all the earth. What does God start in all the earth? That we should preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And I said this to us, if you are in this church and you are not involved in preaching the gospel, you are disobeying God. You must be preaching the gospel. You must be winning souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's God's task in all the earth? 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. I'll start from verses 3. I
Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:3. He said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Lord, of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. When you use the word there, to come to the knowledge of the truth,
yeah, is discipleship. So God wants all men to be saved and to be discipled. And to be discipled. So God doesn't want men alone to be saved.
To be saved is good, but God doesn't want you to end it there. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you to end people, to end it there, just preach the gospel and go home. God wants men to be discipled, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. To come to the knowledge of the truth. And he used the word teach all. I mean teaching them. That is to make disciples. Matitio in the Greek. Matitio, make disciples. So the word matitio implies how you enroll a child into a citadel of learning. How you enroll somebody to learn. Where the person starts from kindergarten to becoming a scholar. Amen. Amen. Where he or she is trained to be a scholar. And how would you know a scholar? A scholar is not one that knows Greek and Hebrew. A scholar is one who is found training others. That is scholar.
Amen. Amen.
So you are trained to train others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I told you, when you use that word matitude, it has an undertone. The undertone of a gathering. How you train someone into a citadel of learning. So it has an undertone of a gathering. Hallelujah. Therefore, when Jesus used that word, make disciples, he has an undertone of gathering people. Not online.
You can't gather online. You can only have viewership online. Those are not disciples. Amen? Amen? Be careful of convenience. I have a friend like that who used to do programs. Now he has switched all the programs to online. He's now warfare. But someone recently told me that God told him or her, I don't want to do it, that God, he heard it from God, that they should hold a crusade online. In fact, let me tell you, a Holy Ghost meeting online. How? Online. And it's not even video online. What's that? Holy Ghost meeting. Can never go. I'll teach you some things maybe sometime in the year to come. So you understand some of these things. Amen. As I'm seeing people in myself thought, that is like what you don't get because you heard something or see something. You have to be very drunk. So then we give it time, we discover that, this one is actually God.
Amen. Don't worry, I know.
By next month, I'll start teaching you about the reading of the scripture. And these are some of the things we need to talk about. Amen.
I'll share one story with you. One day like that, someone came to me to ask me,
was saying, look at the vision that God gave me. Thank you for the visions about heaven, about this. What book is on the ship? She had a vision. She said she had a vision. About heaven, how beautiful it was. You know what? What did you talk about?
So, you talk about the vision that she had. Just continue teaching her God's word. Everything that God's word. She was learning God's word.
After a while, she's not in my world.
I'm saying that God was one day. He said, he can still remember it was in front of a mosque. That
the internet said, that vision that I saw,
what is actually from God?
I didn't want to say it,
but thank God now you know.
What?
You're the God.
Sometimes you just have to listen to some poor people and say, you know, you have to.
Now that person now, that person did the WhatsApp Holy Ghost meeting. I didn't even stop the person. I thought I wasn't going to stop the person. I'm going to just teach the person. Amen. Years to come. But I think it's another 10 years.
Don't tell anybody. That is why, as a world man, you know, we give a value to what God said. careful. Because you are called the people of the Spirit.
Okay, I'm not teaching you not the Spirit today. You just have to learn sometimes patience. You can't be faster than God.
You can't be. Hallelujah.
You can't be faster than God.
The only one to run faster than God is called leading of the Spirit. The only one leading the Spirit. You know, it's He that is leading that is in God. You know, the only one is the Spirit that is leading you. He has shown you something that you think He has shown you. But He's the one leading you, so don't go faster. Relax.
Sometimes, as young people,
we want to try to be fast. And when we get fast, many times, is there a can help you say, if you are fast like that, you can miss God. You can even miss God. But you can't be slow and miss God. You know? Yeah, but that, I didn't try to say God is over, go slow.
Look like.
Because sometimes, God will give you something. I'm not praising those people that you don't know about. I mean, are you good? umbrella is protection. Under the canopy.
I didn't say nothing.
I don't know what you're thinking.
Anyway, so, where was I? I guess it.
Okay, yeah. So, many times, people want to be faster than God. Oh God. This is what leading. Sometimes if I show you something, you will execute in the next 30 years today. And if you don't learn to follow Him, you will quickly think what is training you for 30 years is for now. And you jump into it and you miss it. Amen. So I just have to be calm. Follow Him.
Hallelujah. Why are you rushing to? You are just 20 something. I'm not even 40. I'm not even 30.
Glory to God. Amen. I was discussing with someone some days back, and the person was telling me, I'm getting old. Getting old. I'll be 28. When will I marry? Who will I marry? I just let me just settle up with anybody. Settle down with anybody. And I was like, okay, how many years do you want to live? She didn't know what I was doing. How many years do you want to live in this world? So like, just 100 years. I said 100. I said, yeah, okay. Let's just give you 90. Say, no, I don't want to die until I look at 100 years. You live 100 years. 100 minus 27 is what?
He said 63 years.
You're going to spend 63 years of your life living on that uncertainty with somebody, with anybody. I've never seen it that way. How would you see it? You know what I do in his marriage?
No.
63 years!
Think about it.
So, let's continue.
Well, you have to be slow. That's all I'm saying. Glory to God. Imagine I'm just teaching you everything I know immediately today. Is that to happen tomorrow? It's not. So where are you running to? So what if he's coming like a thief in the night? Wait first. Until they steal you. Continue. Amen.
Amen. That's why it will happen anytime. Hallelujah.
How did I even get into all this?
How did I get into all this? Eh?
Yeah, thank you, God bless you. So you cannot become a disciple. You cannot.
Discipleship is not done online. What you have online is viewership. Not disciples. I'm saying this because some several people will get to discover very late in their life and in their ministry that they only have viewership, not disciples. So don't go for that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So discipleship, that word matitio will imply
that you would have to, there will have to be a gathering, a physical gathering.
Amen. Amen. Physical gathering. Hallelujah. And that is the undertone for a local church.
A local church. Showing you that you are born again into a local church from a trainer. That is where it will happen. You are not born into a local church to be trained alone. You are born to be trained in a gathering. That's why there is a gathering. Do you see that? The gathering. So Jesus goes before and has to now appoint Peter. He says, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. That is a gathering, because what he has set up is a gathering. Hallelujah. It's a gathering. Glory to God. A gathering. So when the word multitude is mentioned, a gathering is implied.
So therefore, for you, for a man to say I'm serving God on my own is error. My salvation is personal.
It's not only personal. You think it's your land?
No. Amen. You say it's just me and God. That is error. Glory to God. Rather, where are you trained? In the local church. Why are you brought up in the local church? Hallelujah. You serve God properly in the local church. You serve God properly in the local church.
Don't allow what is happening. I told you,
be careful of trends. Be careful of trends. Be careful of things that happen around.
Be careful. Amen. Be careful. Especially on social media and things that happen. Because the target is not you. The target is not you. The target is the local church. Your faith in Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So unwavering faith. This is what we are looking at. In 2 Timothy 2:2. Look at what Paul said to Timothy. He said, the things which thou hast heard amongst me, or the things thou hast heard of me amongst many witness, rather, is that the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul instructs Timothy to ensure that what he is teaching are things that he has learnt from him in discipleship.
Hope you can see what you've learnt in discipleship. Not what you picked up.
Glory to God. Not some garbage that you picked up somewhere. Some people, what they do is to carry scripture and do concussion. Just bring Matthew. Bring Zechariah. Just mark scripture, marry scriptures together. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say the things you've learned. So discipleship is where you learn. And when you learn, you are taught to grow so that you will teach others the same thing you've learned. Those people too will teach others what they've learned that you have learned. Hallelujah. That is discipleship. Hallelujah. So how would that be carried out? It says teaching them. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them. Showing you that the primary way discipleship is carried out is by teaching. Is by teaching. Teaching should be intense and accurate.
Now, I need you to listen to all what I'm saying now. Teaching should be intense and accurate. Don't see, teaching is the primary way God wants us to be disciples. Listen, if this is the primary way God wants us to be disciples, then we will not be treated as second, it must be treated first. Because every other lifestyle, every other activity of the believer is tied to how we or she has been taught. So it should be intense. Teaching should not be reduced to the mediocre of SMS. Short message sermon. 2 minutes, big dunk. It's your time for divine favor. Oh yeah. See, the pastor was talking and it was hitting me. See, it was getting to me. Say, pastor, you were just ministering to my need. Every Sunday they are ministering to your need. You are not growing. He said, look at the level in the head before. You must focus on the cause. Your focus, your determination gives you success in the week ahead. Somebody shout hallelujah. Listen, ah, pastor, how to work. What I need to meet my target. You think church is already meet your target? No! Amen? How will you like that? Amen? Just imagine I try to this meeting dealing with your cameroon and I begin. How pastor just know the word for the season? Dealing with your Ivory Coast and Cameroon. Pastor knows the word. That is what you mean. It's not only what you mean. You have 15 ears. Many times you want to be taught you and you'll be struggling to sleep. What you want, why again? You cannot be disturbed. The people who say that I want to know that I will say it all. I don't know why we know that. Amen? You are taught these things. What are repeated again and again? That is church. Who the enemy?
Who is church? But when you come and you be there, they'll be telling you, dealing with the foundations. What is your foundation?
Say, so that means the reason why I've never met my target is this foundational issue.
Where is your faith?
Though that is reducing the teaching, reducing teaching to becoming mediocre. Can you do that? Some people will lose, they will dance in church and dance, now only 5 minutes to hear the word. Now you memory back. God bless you.
How?
And like you told us, the pastor goes straight to the point. We start from Matthew 28. He's speaking of our wavering faith and he's starting from Matthew 1. Where is your wavering in the faith there? Just go straight and come out and we are gone.
I don't have that kind of skills. Glory to God. It must be intense. I need you, your attention here.
Must be intense and accurate.
Why?
Because the whole believer party is tied around how a believer talks. Not just how a believer is taught, also how a believer receives what he or she talks. This is why it's very vital. What he talks and how he is received is very vital
to your Christian faith. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I dare say that teaching creates the foundation of what is called the Christian faith or the believer's faith. Teaching ministry creates the foundation of what we call today the Christian faith. What the believer believes. Therefore, the believer must never joke with how he or she is taught and how he or she receives what he or she is taught. You must never joke with how you are taught and how you receive what is being taught. The two are very vital. Very vital. Because this forms your perception on scriptures and doctrinal issues. Very vital. Hallelujah. If what is being taught, let's start from this, what is being taught is not important,
Jesus would not have issues with how the Pharisees and Sadducees taught. Amen.
In Matthew 16, verse 6, he told his disciples, verse 6, Matthew 16, 6, said to his disciples, he said, take heed and beware of the living of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of the living of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Verse 12. And they understood how he did them, not to be aware of the living of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Did you see that? So he calls their teaching, their mode of teaching, calls it living. Living is used for what is corrupt.
Amen. What is corrupt? What is wrong? Corrupt. Evil. Bah!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So how what is taught is important. You can't stand up and talk anyhow. Just explain the scripture anyhow. Glory to God. Say, where, listen, where is your, let me just show you something like this. Where is your eyes?
Don't you know? God bless you. Abraham, God said, I'll bless you, I'll make you rich. They didn't see that anywhere in the scripture. Whoever said, I'll bless you, shall be blessed. Whoever comes and comes, God said, he will bless you. God now told him, for you to receive that blessing, he has to give his eyes. I'm telling you how people conjure scripture. He said, where is your Isaac? For you to receive that which God has sought for you in the supernatural, you need to give your reward. You know this reward. Where is your Isaac? Now I said, can't you see? You must drop. You see, God wants you to be very rich, so you have to drop something to get something. I think God is Nigerian for me. Just drop something to get something. God! See, I said, the Bible says, see, the Bible says that to know the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, but for your sake he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, should become rich. Oh, God, we go where we are. You have just done what is called scriptural cooking. You have said, you have done what? Concussion. Amen. Scriptural cooking. Hallelujah. Amen. So how what is taught is important. How it is taught is important. Can you stop and talk more? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, follow me. The disciples had to deal with this in Acts 15. We'll look at this and many more in this week. I mean, in this teaching. Unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. And we're taking it up from where we stopped on Thursday. Don't be foolish. We're taking it up from there. Hallelujah. And I told us on Thursday that there is what is called evil day, right? Right? The day is that evil, so we're taking this call from there. On way to faith. Building stamina for every season. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So let's see this. Acts 15, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea stopped the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Ah! And Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. Hallelujah.
Amen. They came up and they said, except you are circumcised after the law of Moses, you will not be saved. How? Amen. Did you see this? They just want to teach Moses anyhow. They have no correct understanding of Moses. Did you see that? They just want to teach it anyhow. That would say Paul and Barnabas, they didn't take it easy with this guy.
Hallelujah. It didn't go down well with them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's very vital. What it stops. In fact, when it got to verses 5, when it got to Jerusalem, they now met the apostles and the elders, but rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, there is need to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. You see, these are some small. What are you saying?
What are you saying? Bible tries to correct it, you're not doing a subtle nonsense. Hallelujah. But take note of the people that said to sect of the Pharisees and the meaning their desires, they got born again, but their desires were still there. They didn't deal with their Jewish desires. They just wanted to show up somehow.
We're gonna get to that shortly. Yeah, they just wanted to show up somehow in scripture. Hallelujah. But watch Paul and Barnabas. They didn't agree. Because how what is taught is vital. How what is taught is vital. How scripture is explained, the didache, we'll get there next week. How the didache, how scripture is explained is vital. Very vital. There's the word scripture ought to be explained. Okay, enemy. In a way.
Hallelujah. Because how a believer would handle life. Listen. How a believer would handle life and the worship of God will be tied to how he or she has been taught God's word, or is being taught God's word.
So especially, I told you, especially that point where they got saved, those first things that he spoke to them, that he said to them, that even got them to be saved, is very vital.
I told you.
Right? Paul and Barnabas, this matter was not settled in Acts 15. So these guys, this certain set of the Pharisees misbelieved, and this guy that said he must be circumcised, they were the ones that now believe at all, and now planned the capture of Paul in Jerusalem. They ensured that Paul was captured and taken to the king. They did. Believers! This is that it will show. Jesus will say, time will come when they will kill you, when men will kill you and say they are doing God's service. Did you see that? So what is taught that power and when you lead someone to get saved? What you see to that person is fighter. Don't go back and give me the same day. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm a believer. I'm born again. Now you're born again. That person will be after you. No, no. Something like that. You have to feel you know what power you have. So when your father is out there, what do you do instead? I want them. No. That one person. Spend your time. Make sure he hears God's word actually. Don't worship. You want to go to heaven?
I want to go to heaven.
Heaven is
free! All the evangelists say,
heaven is free! There is fire in her!
Get born again now! To escape
there. So the first thing God said to escape
there. Run,
food,
together. This is when I thought something. The secret of wealth is in Jesus.
The secret of prosperity is in Jesus.
You want to be rich in this life, then you can.
How do you depend on who does want to be rich?
This is Jesus.
That is it. For your sake, he became poor. And the beginning of Jesus Christ when he was born, Jesus didn't go before he was born in a manger. He became a carpenter so that you through his poverty.
You through his poverty should walk in shame.
This is man.
That guy doesn't have more than an OMB.
Walk in shame.
You be you OMB.
Just all you need.
Born again now.
I believe.
Born
again. What you have done, that guy you think you have saved, he will become a false brethren. That's what they had in Acts. He said they had false brethren. Hallelujah. Saved under a guy.
Glory to God. That is why you need to be mindful of what you preach. Say the whole lot.
I heard of some people like that. They organized rap. 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 After that, one of the people are telling you who are big. After watching the kid that the devil cannot handle.
Say, you won it. You won it. You are the winner.
And they thank you, sir. Say, now say after this, God Jesus, I thank you.
You got born again by a rat!
Ah!
Moses.
Amen. Tomorrow the person is not struggling with a...
what?
Yes now. By a rat! You are... the person really gets it. You made it. You said you are not safe. That's why I am safe.
Why? Because you just laugh.
I thought I had been saved before you asked me.
You have been saying what you are doing on this too.
I have been watching naked that the devil cannot handle.
I'm a Kanaga force, the force.
You win the force just like Air Force, you know.
Say, wow! Like the Arsenal force, they will lose.
Because
they are in Arsenal, nothing good will come out from that land.
But that one gone after.
They will be released from that space after that.
Amen.
Glory to God. You need not in the message. Glory, glory, glory.
So where were we? So I'm serious now. You're the one of the believer's life. You're worship of God. Now that guy gets God born again because of money. When there's no money, there's no time God. Amen? You're already bringing the wrong notion in you. So he got born again with the mindset that I'm going to get a good job. I don't get a good job. He gets frustrated. And tomorrow he's saying, taking money, one money. I said, why did you promised him job in Christ. And what Jesus has promised him in me is salvation. You did something else. Amen? So you have something to learn. And say the truth. Don't lie, my man. Don't lie.
Amen? Don't lie. I had this conversation with a certain brother, a dear brother. Amen. Amen.
With a dear brother. And he got into some funny things. So we just started talking and talking. I said, you're going to go back and you're going to start preaching God's word. I told him, you have to preach God's word. Get new friends. Take away your old friends. Now, you are going to make crazy your friends by preaching God's word. Right? Discipling them. Teach them the good news. The good news, right? Yeah. The good news. He now asked the question, I'm trying to remember how that conversation went. And I told him that the gospel is the gospel of what God has done. Amen. He said something, nothing was bad. How is it good news?
When, listen, he says, I thought good news means we don't need to suffer again in this life. Say good news is that,
because that was what he was told to get born again. Good news means I should just be joyful. No evil news. Everything is just going smooth, whatever. Just smooth. No call. Everything. No persecution. I said,
didn't you see that the disciples were persecuted? He said, no, they were persecuted, now we will not be persecuted. I said, are they Jesus?
He said, I thought Jesus Christ has paid it all. He has done so. So where is the effect of it is finished?
I said, it is finished.
I said, okay, continue. What's the effect? I thought Jesus has paid it all. Well, for us to fail, we just ride on the euphoria of what he has done. Your problem is God. You're not on the euphoria of what Jesus has done. He paid the debt. So you are thinking no persecution?
So when you see where persecution is in the Bible, just like me years back ago, I'll just keep it. Endure hardness as a true soldier. No.
Paul endured hardness. I am riding on Paul's wings. No hardness. Confirm. Confirm. No. I know this. There.
What would you now say about the believers that are in Bronu? That are in Maiduguri? That are even in Kaduna?
You think we were to leave Kaduna? That day, in that very southern Kaduna where we were, they had a bandit attack. They were having a meeting, they had a bandit. What would you say about the believers that are in jaws? Or when they are chasing, when you hear pass, bandits are here, you just turn and you say, oh, greater is he than he is.
Greater is he than he is.
Or that way.
Greater is he. Greater
is he. And I'm saying it, your pastor. I'm talking to Lagos.
Amen.
Amen. Why is that? Even Jesus, I showed you that some scriptures now, and they came to catch Jesus, and he just,
Greg was just gathering for back door, passing through the back gate, out of the city. Oh yeah, get back. You don't know.
So what would you say about those people? Say, I've never seen it like that. I say, how would you see it? How would you see it? I said it to her, I said, how would you see it?
What do you think? So I just thought being born again is a secret, is a divine secret and mystery to wealth.
Confirm.
I said, the richest man in the world is not even born again. Richest man in Nigeria is not born again. So what is your problem?
Amen. Now some people, all those things in their head is now, their eyes are right.
That is the truth. Now not born again to get a good job. Go and read. So it's good, do good things, get a good job. Hallelujah. Go and give to church. Very vital.
Hallelujah. But what was wrong with that brother was that he had a foundation. That the good news is that you are saved never to suffer in life again. Never! You will never see Satan.
But he saw Satan.
Amen. Glory to God. Say, he thinks he's born again, so he will never be persecuted again. No. Hallelujah. Always remain worldly. No. Glory to God. That is actually a faulty teaching. And a faulty foundation. Hope you're hearing me. The faulty teacher and a faulty foundation.
Many people who have such kind of foundation, I tell you, they can't weather the storms when the storms come. I've not just seen one, I've seen several. So people that have such kind of foundation. They end up going into concussion. I'm telling you, my few days I've been born again. They cannot weather the storm because they were not prepared for the storms. Hallelujah. They were never prepared for the storms. They were never prepared for the issues of life. They were never prepared for the evil days in life. But one thing you must know is that in the local church, our local church is that you are prepared for every season. You will go through every season. Hallelujah. Seasons will come where all you have will be gone. Seasons will come where you have more than triple. But you must not change in anything. You must be sure. Hallelujah. If a good job and money will buy your sense of reasoning, you are not trained well. Not having money will buy your attitude. You are not training. Glory.
Let's see this. Hallelujah. If your response to adversities is not like that of the apostles, look at Acts 5, 1 verses 44. Verses 40. Acts 5:40. If your response to persecution, say, we will never be persecuted. Who told you?
I mean, we didn't start church. Listen. We didn't start church up to a year. We were not even up to 1 year when we had our first persecution. Yeah, we're not up to 1 year. It was like brimstone and fire. Everything to me in my own before. Imagine we're not prepared for such a time.
Hallelujah. Acts 5:40, he says, and to him they agree. And when they had called the disciples and beaten them and commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go, they flogged them well.
I said, if we hear them, they were younger guys. They were teenagers and youth in their teenager and youthful age. The apostles. Their teenager and youthful age. So, now, they
Now the elder ones, which are called the chief priests, the elders and council, they were older people. They caught them and they flogged them. And they warned them over to preach the name of Jesus. No, they were young guys. Abel would have not said to Kenshaw, Kenneth,
don't call Jesus again. Let God be using wisdom. Everything is wisdom.
Amen? Just with wisdom. Why not use Jesus? Why not God? No, my God, so you don't know. Why not say the Bible? God said the good book.
Come sooner, there will be no problem.
Why not God to know the good law? No problem, she will not call Jesus. I didn't think so. Yes, no. That is nonsense. You're in a door. Or, that map Lucas, let's just keep it for now. Everything is said, let's go to that place and then we'll come back. Ah! But this getting down. You know you could have just, but look at what they did in verse 42. I mean verse 41. And they departed from that presence. I mean from the presence of the council rejoicing. Look at how they responded to adversities. They were rejoicing. They just left all troubles and oh! What's happening? Oh! Man, they flogged us or they go through. God will preach more.
We'll miss us more. We'll talk about Jesus more.
That was how they responded to adversity. Amen? Amen? How did they respond?
Ha! God, how far? They don't know what to do. They will flow, they will flow, they will flow, they will tire. But no one will preach.
Not how far now?
But this thing is, let's just be doing on your life. Let's just be doing on your
life. Come on now. We will not connect. I find it just connect us. Just connect us online. Let's not be having online church. No. Amen.
Go with the God. Go with the God.
No. If your response to adversities is not like that of the apostles, then we must begin to question what we are hearing. We must begin to, if your response to adversities is not like that of the apostles, we must begin to question what we have been hearing. And how we've been hearing what we've been hearing. Yes, we must have.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Because the teaching of God's word, how it is taught and how you receive it, forms your foundation. In Psalms 11. Psalms 11 quickly. Hope you are following me. 4 verses 1. It says, in the day, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as the bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Hallelujah.
It says, if the foundation be destroyed. Now, this is in the face of adversaries. Adversities. It says, if the foundation be destroyed. Now, if that word, the foundations be destroyed there, then actually, if there is no foundation, faulty foundation. Then what shall the righteous do?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the foundation is vital. And as we said, must be built first from God's word. From the word of God taught and heard. Heard. Hallelujah.
How do you hear God? I just dealt with how do you teach God? How do you hear God's word? You, how do you hear God's word? How do you hear God's word? Some people hear God's word
differently. People hear God's word differently. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes when you pick people's book to read what you have taught, you'll be shocked. I didn't say it like this. Amen. Glory to God. So how do you hear God's word? Do you hear God's word with error in your mind? Do you hear God's word with a problem with bias?
So you just want to hear God with bias.
One of my friends like that, of blessed memory, Jeremiah.
I wanted him to, we were having issues with how he dressed. So me, my friend and I, we talked, we were tired. This Sunday. So we now got a teaching by Pastor Chris Oyakilomo. I've loaded it for him.
I actually burnt it into his seat. The Priestly Ministry of the Believer, Volume 1, Chapter 1 to 3, Volume 2, Chapter 1. We just loaded it. He can't listen to it. Because I know him, I have experience that he can listen to it. He will dress like a boy. The guy went to listen to it. He came back. Worse off. Because after I was done listening to Priestly Ministry, and I went to Baba shop. And I told them to bath just inside of his head. Yeah. Bath it off. Now I'm talking, now came. Jane, what is this? He said, no. Those were the days this gala style was doing. Just came on this gala. It's gala. Obab that time, Alan is doing, say he wants to invent his own, I just say, I give up. Hey, you don't bab yet. He said, he wants to start his own style. I said, you look like a madman.
Amen. Wonderful brother. Amen. So all he could get from that teaching was to go and have his own style. It is well. Amen. So how do you receive what is taught? Now Jesus, we'll take it off from here. I mean, we'll start from here and then take it up next week again. Is Matthew 13. Mark 4 and Luke 8. Look at Matthew 13. No, put your hands in Matthew 13, but we'll read them intermittently as we go ahead. I prefer to start from Luke 8 rather than Mark 4. Okay, let's start from Luke 8. Luke 8 from verse 1. It says, and it came to pass afterwards that when he went through out every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and the certain women which be healed of ills. Now run down to verses 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. Watch this. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. And I mean, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Open up with me. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruits and hundredfold. And he said these things, he had said these things, he cried, he that had ear, let him hear. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables. That seeing they might see, in seeing they might not see, and in hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Hope you have seen that. What did he call the seed? Now he's explaining it. The seed is the word of God. The seed is not money. The seed is not family seed. Where is your seed? Jesus said, no. The seed there is not money.
Hallelujah.
And now, something you need to see is that he labeled four kinds of ground. The ones that fell by the wayside. Do you see that? The ones that fell upon the rocks or stony ground. The one that fell among thorns. Right? And the one that fell on the good ground. Now let's look at them. The one that fell by the wayside. Look at what it says. The those that fell by the wayside, they that hear, are they that hear, then cometh the devil. Right? Cometh the devil and taketh the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and not be saved. Did you see that? So the one that fell by the wayside at the breast of the Ekimputi, he says the one that fell, he says
the devil came and took the word,
lest they should believe. Right? And be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So showing you that they were not saved. Hallelujah. Were they saved?
No. But the ones that fell by the wayside are not people, are people who did not believe the word. Amen. The evangelist. They were not saved. Yeah. But there are people, when God's word is told them, they don't believe. Amen. They are not saved. Then the one fell by the wayside. Hallelujah.
Satan
steals it from your heart.
Now the second one fell on rocky ground. Watch it. Rocky ground. He said, verse 13, they that fell on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. Did you see that? Amen. Receive the word with joy. Woo! Say, this is word. But he said, this have no roots. For a while believe, and in time of temptation fell away. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Let's read how Matthew will put it. Matthew 13. Look at verse 6. He says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away, meaning they didn't get into the ground. Hallelujah. They had no roots. Am I following me? Hallelujah. Verses 20. He that received the word into the stony place, the same is he that heard the word, and anon with joy received it, yet had he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So hear this. One is this, the one that fell on the rock deals with the attitude of the hearer. The hear God's word, right? Right? With joy. And you thought they are receiving it. Oh! Shook me what? Oh, deep gone. My heart. Thing is going nowhere. Rocky. Amen. Amen. This is used to describe the faith of someone who doesn't believe. Right? Who doesn't believe? But almost got convinced. Was almost convinced.
We have someone like that in scripture, Acts 6. Amen. He said,
you almost made me become a Christian. He was speaking to Paul. Acts 26, 27. Let's see that. Now, Paul was done talking. Now he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Do you see that? So you almost did. Amen. So the person was not convinced.
Sometimes people like this can parade themselves as people who are saved. They're never saved. Never. I did. Someone wants slight temptation. you will never have a root. Never.
Because the word didn't have, they have, it has no root. Meaning, it didn't get into their heart. Hallelujah. They were never saved. Glory to God. So, we spoke about, we'll still deal with this next week. The one that fell among thorns. Among thorns. Look at that Matthew 13 verse 22. Look at how how Jesus explained it, and Matthew will put it down. Matthew 13, 22. He says, he that received the word among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, took the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What's that? Because the cares of this world took the word. Hallelujah. He's saved. But it was planted among thorns, so it grew with the thorns. Hallelujah. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So he has his desires in conflict too. Hallelujah. He's saved, but his desires are not saved. His desires never got converted. Hallelujah. Deceitfulness of this world, deceitfulness of riches, took the world. Hallelujah. And he's unfruitful. That means he's not growing spiritually. He's unfruitful. He's not maturing. He's not bearing fruit. He's not maturing. He's not bearing fruit. Paul will use the same for the church in Corinth. They are carnal. Amen. Carnal.
These guys, because of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, they will have their conduct not different from that of the unbelievers. Hallelujah. They will still have the same conduct like the unbelievers. They will conduct themselves as those who are not born again. But yet they are saved. But they are dealing with desires. Wrong desires. They are dealing with their appetites. They have not learned to submit their desires to his desire.
They are unfruitful. Who are following me? They are unfruitful. Glory to God. Glory to God. Unfruitful.
So, these set are saved, but unfruitful. Then the one that fell on the good soil. Verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. You see that? So he hears the right message, he understands it rightly, right? Which also beareth fruits and bringeth forth some in 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he hears the word, he understands it, and brings fruit. Hallelujah. So this one is fruitful. The word of God produces fruit in his heart. John 15:2 produces fruits. How will it produce fruit? Look at Psalms 1 from verse 1 to 3. Psalms 1 as a clue. Always receive. Some people think because they are born again, they will never go through challenges. No.
Challenges is part of life. What are you doing? The believers don't run away from it. They are forced to win. Hallelujah. We are trained for God's word. How to handle challenges when they come.
Hope you are ready. Don't chicken out. Chickening out is as a result of what you've heard over time. Hallelujah. Look at Psalms 1 from verse 1. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Say, he shall be like a tree. What does he do? Meditate on God's word, right? planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Hope you can see it. This man brings forth fruits. Fruits. Who is this man? Verses 2. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So bringing forth fruits comes by conscious and constant meditation. I rather put it as a conscious and consistent meditation on God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's word talks rightly. And the believer's reception of it matures the believer. God's word talks rightly, and the believer's reception of it rightly matures the believer. Makes he or her bear much fruit. Question is, what kind of ground are you? We'll get into some details on what kind of foundation do you have. What kind of foundation do you have as regards God's word, as regards the things of God? What kind of foundation are you laying for yourself? Hallelujah. In this series of teaching, I trust God that a faulty foundation will be repaired. Amen. Amen. Faulty foundation will be repaired. Things that either up till now you have and you are running with it in your subconscious that will be repaired. It will be taken away. Hallelujah. You will be taught how to weather the shock. How to stand in the face of adversity. Hallelujah. And not give up. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what is happening, but you are hearing rightly. You're not like the man that sees his face on the mirror, will see that next week, and when he leaves, straight away forget what manner of man he is. You behold your face in the mirror, consistently and constantly, through God's word, every day. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter the storm. No matter what happens, you stand strong. You stand strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The storms will come many times in your natural, in the natural things, in natural affairs. But the target is not the natural. The target is your faith in God. Your trust and your belief in God's word. Will you allow your faith? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just like that songwriter said, he said, when he saw the sheep wrecked and all his families gone down the sea, standing at the seashore, he just said, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Situations don't define you, but because you know who you are, you define the situation with God's word. Hallelujah. Say situations don't define me. God's word is where I get my description from. God's word tells me who I am. My description is not found in situations or in the economy or the things around. I stick to God's word always, unshaken. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Unwavering faith. You know, we'll discuss this and many more in the coming days and coming weeks. We're looking at this. Hallelujah. Learn something this afternoon?